Thank you for being here this morning. It's a blessing to be here. And it looks like we have some folks trying to make some way to get some seats, make sure you scoot in and give people opportunity to sit down this morning. We're glad to have you. We took out a few rows for the missionary display, so it's kind of made us come a little closer today. So praise the Lord. Let's be friendly. Show yourself friendly and have friends. But, man, what an opportunity we have this week to just continue in, what God is already doing. As we were singing the praise, I was just thinking about, you know, in heaven right now, God is being glorified, and we just join in every Sunday when we jump in together and we praise His name. And, you know, really in a similar way, it is that, it's that way with the mission of God. There's a big work that God is doing, and we know from the parable of the sower that the world is the field, and God needs, faithful men and women, plowing that field, sowing the seed, and we need to trust God, to make sure that it gets watered and gets the increase. And so, one of the partners that HBF has had now for many years, it's hard to believe how many years. 2008 seems like yesterday to me, but it's been a long time ago. There's probably people in here that wasn't born in 2008. And, in 2008, I met Pastor Pradeep Lima. I met him because his nation, his people were in distress in the state of Orissa, India, and they had just gone through, or were going through, actually. It was active at the time I met Pastor Pradeep, a persecution. And he happened to be in Mumbai when I happened to be landing in Mumbai to meet Pastor Carl Silva and talk about the ministry of discipleship and all of those things. And that took us on a whole nother journey to a whole nother set of partners. But in that process, God knit myself, I mean, almost from the beginning, Pastor Pradeep and I were knit together. I can remember having dinner with him and listening, and I knew where he was living was a key place, and he was a key man, and it was a key moment. And I just knew that. And so we continued that relationship. And a few years later, Pastor Carl Silva and I descended upon Raghura Orissa. And we agreed together to invest. And we invested 5 years in Pastor Pradeep and his men in Orissa and the Bible college that he was establishing along with Doug Pearson, who was helping obviously with that as he's the missionary to India. And after taking, you know, several trips and thousands of dollars, and many of you have been involved in that and teaching in the pastor training, the Bible college continues on. There's an orphanage, that continues on. There is, multiple mission ministries all throughout, what would be considered an unreached people, an area, literally to some people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And that's not something that we're like praying about that might happen. That this is part of your ministry. I'm bringing that to you this morning to let you know the man that's going to speak is somewhat of the fruit of your ministry here at HBF, and you need to hear from him, and you need to really listen and see what God is doing through you, the church at Heartland Baptist Fellowship. And all week long, we're going to hear from Pastor Pradeep Lima, and he's going to encourage us and inspire us to continue to put our hand on the plow and to continue to trust God for things that are bigger and beyond our ability. What God has done in Orissa and is doing through Orissa, Pastor Pradeep was telling me yesterday, we have this much, but we do this much. And I looked back across the table at Pastor and I said, that sounds just like Heartland. We have this much, but we do this much. And I know it seems a little ambitious at times, but the mission is large and the need is great. And as broad as it may seem, we're really very narrowly focused on accomplishing what God has put in our hand. And so I'm excited about the opportunities that God has given us. And I'm excited about this man, his wife, his family, and the ministry that's multiplying mightily in Orissa, India. So Pastor Pradeep, if you come, come and preach the word. Give him some love as this brother comes and preaches the word to us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Once again, it's a great joy and privilege
to come back to my home. I can say HBF is like my home. I feel I visit to several places here in America, but whenever I come back to HBF, I feel like this is my home. So thank you so much for pouring out your love for me and towards the ministry in Odisha. Greetings from Odisha Ministry, India. And Pastor Brian already elaborated about the ministry, what's going on there. And probably tonight we'll be seeing all the presentations. I'll be doing that. So thank you so much for your love, prayer, and sacrificial heart towards the ministry in Odisha, India. And today just I want to bring something from the Word of God, and like it's very important that Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. I was just thinking about this verse, pondering about it. That's the tremendous verse that Pastor Brian selected for this time. And also we see the verse Luke 9:62. These are the wonderful verses that I was thinking about studying. So our heart is very important. The heart of a plowman. That's what today I'm going to deal with. The heart of a plowman. It's very important what kind of heart I have for the mission field, for God's field, that God has entrusted me with a great burden, and what kind of heart I have towards His vast field, the wonderful field, that the world. And Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man putting his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's a very, very, very important word that Jesus Christ is speaking. It is proceeded from the mouth of Christ, Jesus, that it's possible. It happens all the time. And I was thinking like 2 Timothy 2:6, the husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. So in these two verses, I was seeing that Jesus and Paul both are using the plowing terminology that we pastors, preachers, and the folks in the church are alike. We are like the plowmen. We are the farmers. That's what we see here. And these farming methods started from the heart of God. It has started from God Himself. When I see Isaiah 5:1-2, that He fenced it and gathered out all the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. So the farming method, the plowing method, has started from God Himself. It's the heart of God, the heartbeat of God, I can say. And I was just saying, like, God, the plowman, is expecting something from His people. He's expecting something good, but something bad comes up. Some bad thing happens, we see. He's expecting good vines to come out, but something bad happens there. Satan is very clever, and all the time he uses some techniques so that he can mess up the ministry of God, the field that God has given to us. And The Song of Solomon 2:15 says that Satan uses some little foxes so that it can distract and mess up the field that God has given to us. So they are, it's very important that we should watch out for the little foxes that comes in, that comes to the vineyard of God's field, God's mission to the world that God has given us. John 15:1, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Throughout the history, the plowing method, the farming method has been passed out from generations to generation. God started it and he has been passing it out throughout the generations. He's giving to every one of us. He entrusted it to the priests in the Old Testament, prophets, apostles in the early church. And today, he's entrusting that ministry, that vast field to you and me, this world, to the pastors and preachers, evangelists, elders, and the present church. He has entrusted that ministry. He has given that vast field so that we can plow on the field. It's very important. We should think about it. And Jesus said in Matthew 13:37, if we read from 37 to 39, we can see clearly that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus is the plowman here. He sows the good seed. But the thing we see here, verse 38 says, there is someone who soweth the bad seed as well. The devil is very clever. Whenever God is doing something, whenever God is sowing some good seed, devil always tries to distract it, distort it. It's very, very important that we are God's people and we should understand that the motive of Satan is very wise and he is very clever that he enters in our lives. So Jesus Christ is the good seed holder. I want to sow the seed, good seed, then I should be connected with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true vine and I should be connected with him. John 15 is very clear that he is the true vine and I should be connected with him. In John 15:5, he said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If I abide in Christ, if I abide in him, then only I can bring the good seed. I can bring the good seed. I can plow the good seed. That's what Jesus is saying, that I should abide in him. If I want to bring much fruit and sow the good seed on God's field, then I should abide in him, because without him I can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. Most of the time we think we can do everything without Christ, but we fail. But we fail desperately. Most of the time it happens in our lives. We are Christians, God's people, always go to the Bible studies, study the Bible, but sometime we miss something, that we are without Christ. Sometime we neglect the presence of God with us in our lives. Jesus is saying, without me, ye can do nothing. So if you want to sow the good seeds, be connected with the good seed holder, that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And he's the one, he does. And the field is very huge. Matthew 13:38, the field is the world. It's written very clearly. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The field is very huge, and you and I, we should know. More than 195 nations in the world with more than 8 billion of people. There are so many without Christ. There are so many without. Jesus says in Matthew 9:37 and 38 that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are very few. Pray to the master of the harvest so that he can send forth the laborers. Pray to the master of the harvest. God is the master of the harvest, and I have to pray. We always pray. You pray, I pray. We all are praying every day. The early morning we wake up, we pray. But the thing for what you are praying. Jesus is saying, pray to the master of the harvest so that he can send laborers to his mission field. Maybe I'm praying for my children's education. Maybe I'm praying for my health. Maybe I'm praying for my good job. Maybe I'm praying for a good wife. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm trying something. But think about it. Jesus is saying, pray to the master of the harvest so that he can send forth his laborers to the mission field. It's very important. Now is the time that we should pray. We should pray to the master of the harvest. Lord, please prepare. There are so many people. There are so many nations without Christ. There are so many people without hope, without eternal life. Lord, please make some quality laborers for your mission field. It's very important. Quality. There are so many missionaries. There are so many missionaries are sent from the churches. But the quality is very important. How many? That's not important. But what he is doing, what she is doing in the mission field. What is her heart for the mission, for the people? Very important, and we should think about it. And today we should pray. It's very important that we should pray. Jesus says in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It happens many times in the history of the Bible. It happened. In the Old Testament, New Testament, it's happening. We have been seeing many people, they commit themselves. They want to be the plowmen. They carry the plow with them, but after putting their hands on the plow, when they look back to the world, when they look back to the world, the mission field, which is full of dirt, garbage, thorns, thistles, and rocky mountains, ups and downs in the world. When they look back to the world, it really distracts them. It really distorts them. It turns their minds to the world. So Jesus is saying, if we put our hands on the plow and look back to the world, we are we are not fit for God's kingdom. We are not fit for to become his missionaries and pastors. We are not fit to plow in his mission field. That's what is here. So the world is very dangerous. We have to know this. The world is full of lusts and pleasures, and it has the power to draw us back to the world. And always there are temptations. There are lusts in the world. Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. When we set our hearts on the earthly things, we easily be distracted. We distorted from God's will, God's plan. So it's very important, and we should be very careful where what we are looking and where we are looking. What is God's plan And we have to think about it, and we should be very careful. Many people in the history, we see Moses, when God called him to plow in his mission, to do his mission, he had 5 excuses. He said so many things. He tried to escape from God's presence. He tried to run away from God's presence. He's saying like, I was studying on these verses, Exodus 3:11. I was just studying on this, that he said, Lord, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. If you read that, it's very clearly, he's saying, I'm nobody, Lord, I'm nothing. And God says, God's response is in verse 12, Exodus 3:12, it's very clearly, Moses, I have sent thee, I will be with thee, and you will serve me. I have appointed you, and I'm sending you. You will serve in my mission field. That's what God is saying. And verse 13, Moses is saying to God, I'm not a theologian. He's saying, I'm not a theologian. Lord, I can't do your work. I'm unworthy to do your missions. I'm not a theologian, he says. And God responds in verse 14 and 15, we see that God is responding him. I don't have time to read all the verses, but God's response is seen in verse 14 and 15. Moses, he's telling something to Moses. In Exodus 4:1, Moses is saying another excuse, that I am not convinced. I'm not convincing what you are saying. And God is saying, God's response, we can see that verse 2 to 9. Exodus chapter 4, 2 to 9, we see how God is responding him, talking to him. That's what we find. And another excuse we see, Exodus 4:10, Moses said to God, I'm not a preacher. Lord, I'm not eloquent in speech. He's saying that. He's trying to escape from God's will, God's plan. But the Lord said to Moses, who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? You think about it. I am the Lord that I'm sending you. I have chosen you. I need you. I want to use you in my mission field. And he's saying, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm not a good preacher. I can't do it. Most of the time it happens to us. We try to escape from God's presence, God's will, God's plan. It happens in our inner lives, in our Christian life. And God is saying, who made your mouth? Who made the mouth of man? Go, I'll be thy mouth, and I will teach you what to say, what to do. In verse 13, Exodus 4:13, we say, Moses says, Lord, I am not really interested. I'm not at all interested to go to the mission field, to work in your vineyard. He's trying to escape from God's plan. Verse 14 to 17, God responds to Moses, we see. So it's very important that what is the plan of God? How God is calling me? For what he is calling me? With what heart I am in the mission? I am in the church. It's very important. And God called to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 to 8, we can see, 4 to 10, we see, Jeremiah also tried to escape from God's presence, God's plan and will. Verse 6 says, like, Lord, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. I can't speak. He's trying to escape from God's will, God's plan. And verse 7, God said to Jeremiah, say not, I am a child, for I will be with you wherever you go, and I will speak through you. I will speak through you, you stand. Whatever I'm saying, you stand on that and I will do my part in your life. But be obedient for the call of God. That's what God is saying, teaching to Jeremiah. Verse 8, be not afraid, for I am with thee to deliver thee. That means God is saying to Jeremiah, I will protect you. I am there to protect you. Don't worry. And verse 10, don't say I am a child, for I am authorizing you to go. Dear God's people, it's very important to obey the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18-20. The great commission is given to you and me, to the church, to the body of Christ. Those who are saved by the gospel of Christ. And that ministry is given to us, given to you and to me in Odisha, India. And I must be obedient to the great commission of Lord Jesus Christ. If I obey, then the power of God will accompany me. That's what verse 18 says. The power of God will accompany me, and the promise of God will be with us, and the presence of God will be with us if we obey the great commission, the word of God which has come to us. It's very important. I was just thinking and studying John 21. What had happened in the life of Peter? Wonderful thing happened in the life of Peter and few other disciples. I was just studying on that. Verse 2 says, John 21 verse 2 says, Peter is taking 6 more disciples with him. He has seen the resurrected Christ twice. He met Christ twice. The resurrected one. He talked to him. He was with him. But again, he is going to the world. That's what we see here. He's not going alone. He's taking 6 people with him. 6 disciples of Christ. Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, Andrew, Philip. He's taking 6 with him. From the plan of God. From the will of God. From the mission of God. He is just taking them. It's very important. Verse 1 says, John 21, 1 says that they went to the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias. It means that the meaning of Tiberias is River God. The meaning of Tiberias is River God. He's going to River God. River God is calling him from God's plan, from God's mission, from God's will. The River God is very dangerous. Remember this word. It's very important. The River God is very, very dangerous. Sometimes River God entices us as well. The River God is very dangerous. Immediately they were hijacked from God's will. God's presence there. Peter, one of the most important disciples of Christ, Peter, the Lord was trusting him. He was with Christ. He was well trained. But the River God is enticing him. River God is calling him. Dear God's people, it's very important. River God is calling him. Verse 3 says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. He spoke to the disciples, other disciples, the 6 disciples. And they said unto him, we also go with you. We also want to join you. Wherever you want to go, we are ready to go. I was thinking about this verse, particular man, Peter. Peter, being a leader, what kind of decision he's taking? What kind of decision he's making? He has seen Christ, resurrected one, twice he met him, but he is going out of the will of God, from God's plan. It's very, very important what kind of decisions we are taking. Being a leader, being a pastor, I'm talking to myself, not to you. I'm a pastor leader in Odisha. What kind of decision I'm making? It affects the people around me. It affects the people around me. And six of Jesus' well-trained disciples are getting away from the will of God. They're just looking back to the world. We are also ready to go. We want to go with you wherever you go, because Peter was one of the leaders. It's very, very important thing. But the wonderful thing happened that that night they caught nothing. Being a professional fisherman, he is catching nothing. He tried his best the whole night. God is not giving him anything that night. They toiled hard. And the morning, when morning comes, Jesus comes and says, "Children, do you have anything to eat? Children, do you have anything to eat?" They said, "We don't have. We didn't get anything." It's very, very important. When we go out of God's will, we will fail. We can't do anything. That's what I have experienced in my life. Two of our Bible college students, they were in the Bible college for 2 years, and then they've decided they wanted to make more money. They went to Kerala. Some went to Mumbai to make more money. After 2-3 years making more money, again they came back. They came back to me and they requested, "Pastor Pradeep, the decision that we have taken was wrong. We want to come back to the Bible college. We have earned more money. We have more money, but there is no peace and joy in our lives. But God has called us to do certain things, some specific things for His mission. And we are going out of that." So it's very important thing that we should think about. And they caught nothing that night. It's very important. The river God is today enticing every one of us. River God is just near somewhere. You know? Sometimes He calls us from the will of God, from God's work, God's mission. And He tries to turn us back from His will, from His work. So the Bible says, Revelation 2:13, the world where Satan's seat is. John 14:30 says, Satan is the prince of the world. The river God is everywhere. River God is everywhere. It took Peter and other disciples, and today it is even enticing every one of us. And he always tries to mess up the God's plan, God's will, God's mission. It's very important, and we should be very careful with the river God, you know. Jesus said, you know, that's the reason Jesus said, John said in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Love not the world. So where to go and live? Shall we go to the jungle, forest and live there? Forest is the place for monkeys and animals. We are made to live on the world. God's world. God has made the world. It was so nice. It was so good. Genesis 1:2, we see that. But this world is the present world he's talking about. That love not the world, he's saying, because there are so many things. Satan has some weapons in the world. There are three weapons that Satan has been using right from the history of the mankind. Those three are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and lust of the pride of life. The three ancient weapons, instrument. I can say a row in India, a row he's been using. It used in Genesis 3, 6 to 8 to Adam and Eve, and they were the prey. And then throughout the history, we see that he's been using those ancient weapons. And even that same weapon, Jesus was faced. Satan tried to use on Jesus Christ as well. In Matthew chapter 4, 4 to 8, Luke chapter 4, we can see that. These three are very dangerous. And the river God is having that. And he tries us to get us away from God's will, God's plan, and God's mission. So dear God's people, we are to think about it and we should be very careful about it. And God wants us to use us for God's kingdom. And we are to be, we are to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the wiles of the devil, in order to stand against the wiles of Satan. We have to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 is very clear on that. But I am particular on the verse 11 and 13. Paul is saying, put on, take up, in order to take up all the whole armor of God. One day I went to Pastor Jim's house, it's a few years ago, and I have never, hold a gun with me. So Pastor Jim Stovall gave me a gun. Pastor Pradeep, please see that. We never have in our homes. You have that. I wish I should have that. Yeah, sometimes I feel, Lord, please give me something so that when the persecution comes, let me use that. Yeah, sometimes I feel like that when I see all the things in India. Pastor Jim Stovall gave me that, and can you use it? I said, no, I don't know anything. I have gun. I have whole armor of God with me, but if I'm not able to use it, that's what in verse 13, Ephesians 6, 13 says, there, take up, the Greek word is mentioned, analambano, take up in order to use. I have the whole armor of God, but I'm not able to use it against the wiles of the devil. Then what is the point? The devil is very dangerous, and we should be very careful about it. And my last point is that in the Bible history, there are many look back and they had their consequences. That's what I want to. God chastised them, disciplined them, straightened them. It happened in the Bible. I'm not talking out of the Bible, but it happened in the Bible. We can see Jonah, when God gave him a mission, he's trying to flee. He's trying to get away from God's will, God's plan. And what happened? Jonah 1, 5, 2, 1, what happened? We know. We know the story. He was in the valley of a fish for 3 days and three nights. I believe it was a kind of chastisement to him. It's a kind of discipline that he is inside the valley of a fish for 3 days and three nights. If I go away from the will of God, from the plan of God, I may be straightened. I may be disciplined. Remember this verse. It happened to Jonah. And he was there. And Lot's wife. I was thinking about Lot's wife, Genesis 19, 24 to 26. God has given privilege for the entire family to come out from the wrath that the Lord was going to destroy, destruct the whole nation, Sodom. And he said, Lord, you come out with your family. You go out from this place and I'm going to judge this nation. And Lot's wife was with him. But when she looked back, what happened? She became the pillar of salt. She was in the plan of God. She was with the chosen group. She was in the elected group behind Lot. But when she looked back, she became the pillar of salt. God didn't use her. That's what I want to tell you. She was not useful for God's kingdom anymore because she looked back to the world. So it's very important. I don't know whether she was saved or unsaved, but one thing I know, she was with the chosen group. But God didn't use her. She became her whole life the pillar of salt because she looked back to the world. God has called us, God has called you and me. And I was just thinking, John 6, 66 to 68, some of the disciples of Christ, those who are with him, they left him. The Bible says they left Jesus Christ. If they left Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then how would be with me? How would it will be with Pastor Brian? There are people, they can leave easily. And they left Jesus Christ, the true master, the true king, they're leaving him. They were with him. And Matthew 8, 21, 22 says, one of Jesus' disciples came to Jesus and is saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, but one thing. One condition, that I will go and bury my father and come. I'll bury my father. And Jesus looked at him and said, let the dead bury the dead. You come, if you really want to come with me, do the ministry, just leave the dead body. Let the dead bury their dead. You come, follow me. Very important, and Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:10 that for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Having loved this present world, Demas left me. Demas was with Paul, a great leader of all times. But Paul is saying, Demas loved the world and he left me. The world is very dangerous. The river God is very dangerous in our lives. Maybe we are Christians for many years and we know the entire Bible. Maybe we have by heart the entire Bible. We have been very consistent in the church, but the river God is very dangerous. Sometimes it can grab us. It can take us from God's plan and God's will. So we should be very, very careful about it. What kind of heart I have? That is very important. What kind of heart I have? I have already read Proverbs 4:23. I have already read that verse first when I just started. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Our heart, our motive, serving the Lord. What kind of heart I have for the Lord? It's very important. They're God's people. So we should be willing to do his mission. God has given us this vast field. And today, many people, committed people, are going out, turning from God's work. They're looking back to the world, going, the committed people, those are called by God. Those who have received the high, holy, and the heavenly calls, they are distracted. They are getting out from God's will, God's plan, from God's mission. So we have to examine our hearts. What kind of heart I have towards the ministry of God for the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. I must examine myself and you must examine yourself. It's the heart issue. What kind of heart I have. So it's very important to know that. And again, I want to come to the main verse, Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We put our hand for God's mission. God has given us something. Let us be sincere and faithful. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If somebody wants to follow me, take up his own cross daily. The word daily is mentioned, every day. Sometimes we want to take up the cross, but the other day I'm not willing to take up the cross. And I can't accomplish God's plan, God's will. So it's important. So it's important that we should deny ourselves and consider the work of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:13 that consider the work of God. It is very important to consider the word of God, work of Christ, work of God. And God has entrusted us, and we should not back down from the challenge, the commitment we have for his mission, for his spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you. The one who has called you is faithful. Just remember this word. The one who has called me is faithful. Many times the river God called me in my life. Many times it happened. In 2008, when the persecution took place in Kandabali, in Odisha, more than 300 people were killed, burned, so many churches. My family members, I have 4 brothers and sisters. They told me, Pradeep, you don't go, don't serve the Lord. We don't want that ministry. You come, we are ready to help you to start a business. We are ready to support you to start a business. You come, we don't want you to be in the missions. The river God is very dangerous. Sometimes tries to entice us. Some job offered to me from the postal department. I was given some privileges to go and join there. An English medium school in Odisha, they called me because I'm able to speak a little bit English. And they said, you come, we are ready to pay you. Sometime the river God, the world is very dangerous, very serious, and we have to be careful about the world. God has called us, and he is faithful, and he'll be with us. Joshua 1:9, as God was with Joshua 1:9. In Hebrews 13:5 says, like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. God will be, he will protect us. Psalm 34:19, he will strengthen us. Isaiah 41:10, and he says, I'll go with you. Isaiah 30:21, and he will supply all our needs, all your needs. Philippians 4:19, and Matthew 6:33 is very clear on that. So let's be faithful to the call God has for me and for you. To you, and let us be in the center of God's will. God wants to use you and me today. And today is very, very important It is the time to go and proclaim the good news. Not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 says, 2 Kings 7:9 says, they spoke to one another, what we are doing is not right. For today is the day of good tidings. May God bless us, everyone. Thank you so much for the time, and thank you.
There's your man, Pradeep Lima, and he's been a faithful brother. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, that analogy of the river, I grew up on the Missouri River. I used to play on the Missouri River, which is not a wise thing to do. And when you get near a river that's moving, you can get caught up in a current and the little whirlpools and such. And a friend of mine, actually a really interesting, true story, a friend of mine, Faima Mua, none of you guys know him. He was a big Samoan fella, went to high school with, and he was in my life one time, pivotal moment. Him and I were visiting, and he changed my heart. It wasn't nothing to do with Christianity. I wasn't saved. And anyway, it drew me back toward Amy Jo, who eventually would become my wife. This guy was a big old dude, big burly fella. And could bench press the weight of a man, just a big guy. He was down at the mouth of the Little Blue one day, and a child got playing in the river. And that river took that child and sucked it right under the Missouri, at the mouth of the Blue, those of you know where the mouth of the Blue is. And Little Blue River hits the Missouri River. And so he gets sucked down, and Faima dives in to save the child. And the child was saved. It was his cousin. And the child was saved, but Faima wasn't. He couldn't overcome. As big as... I'm off? Okay. It's my force field. Anyway, as strong as he was, he could not overcome the force of the river. It pulled him down and it killed him. You know, guys, that's what Pastor Pradeep's saying, is that when you look back, there's a force there that just, it draws us, doesn't it? You know, the old hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Oh God, take my heart, right, and seal it in thy courts above. And he quoted Colossians, right, chapter 3. We got to be intentional about setting our affection on things above so we can do the work below. Else we get turned around and we live in a world of information overflow, man. We got a current of information flowing through our brains every day to take us off the mission. And if we get distracted, what's going to happen is it's going to impact others. Not just the world, but as Pastor Pradeep pointed out, even the people that we love and are in charge of leading, the people in our flocks, not just the pastor, which that includes me, but that includes all of us, for you men and you moms, right? Our homes, all of us. Man, we got to be on mission. And so I appreciate that, brother. That was a good word. And you said several things. I got my note page is full, right? And so I hope you guys enjoyed that. We're going to have more tonight. And so we're not going to tarry. But as we conclude, I just want to just take a moment. And as you guys know, the most important thing is to do what Pastor Pradeep said. He says we need to go out today and take advantage and seize the opportunity today to accomplish God's mission. Of course, we're all listening, but I think, as I preached last week, I think God's already calling some of you, and you just need to make that decision, and don't waste this week belaboring it. I heard this morning in our real life class, if God's given a clear command, why are you waiting on a call? You know, just do it. And I was like, man, that's good preaching right there. And so perhaps this morning, that's where you're at. You don't need any more preaching. You just need to submit to the call, like Peter needed to just sit down and trust Jesus Christ and go forward in faith. And that's where it's at. Maybe this morning you're here and you're really not even a disciple. You never followed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. This is not there's only two religions in the world. There's works and there's grace. And our inclination as humans is to approach God through works. if I just do enough good things, God will be happy. If I just do enough good things, God will be pleased. And the reality is that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And in comparison to God, God is holy, and he can have nothing to do with anything that's unholy. Yet, he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in our place. While we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. I mean, his love is so incredible that he cares about us. We would have no value if he didn't esteem us valuable enough to send his son to die on the cross for. But because he did do that, man, now God wants us to be reconciled to him through the shed blood of his son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. And any other way is a disservice to the sacrifice that God the Father sent to redeem us. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not because he's exclusive. It's because he's simple and easy. He wants everyone to know the way, the truth, and the life. He's got one path, and it's through his son. And he wants you to know him in a very personal way so he can redeem your soul from hell, yes, and also equip you to accomplish what he wants to equip in his field. He's going to leave you here to accomplish his mission and his power for his glory. And that's why God's put us here. So let's stand together in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, Lord, you are calling. You're calling some to salvation, and you're calling those of us that are saved into your perfect will, your complete will for our lives. And Lord, we know there is a river, there's a torrent, Lord, of information that's always telling us there's some better way, there's some other way, there's some other thing that draws us away from the perfect will of God. And those hooks, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things continue to grab and pull at us. And yet, Lord, when we're obedient to your word, as Pastor Pradeep said, Lord, there's a liberty there, a freedom there, a power there that overcomes the force of this world. And Lord, that's what we're calling on, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead us and guide us and to multiply mightily in this world as we put our hand to the plow without excuse and go forward to accomplish your mission and your power for your glory. Heavenly Father, with our heads bowed and our hearts bowed before you, it could be that there's someone today, Lord, that's not saved, and today their heart's beaten because they know they need Jesus and they're afraid. Fear is something that paralyzes us and keeps us from going forward. Lord, I pray you'd free them even now. Free them to trust you as Lord and Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I know this wasn't a strong gospel message today, but if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to be saved. That is the urgency of the hour, the moment. You don't need to make another decision other than to trust Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that says, Brian, that's me. I need to be saved this morning. I need to know that my sins are forgiven, that I'm right with a holy God. And I know I'm not right, and I want to be. Is there anybody that says, Brian, that you are talking to me directly? God has brought me here for this purpose. I know it seems like each week God just brings them in. Anyone at all? To my right, in the middle, to my left. If you're online and you're listening, and God's talking to you, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. He loves you. Email me, call me, and we'll get you going. How about you, Christian? I know God's calling some. Do you need to nail it down this morning? Do you need to pray about it? Do you need to say, Lord, I'm making a covenant with you right now. I am going to go where you call me to go. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to do it. Make that decision. Sell it in your heart. As per deep into that message, it is about the heart, isn't it? The heart of the plowman. And man, may the Lord's word be in our hearts. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate what we've heard, as we have considered the call of God upon our own lives and the excuses that we often make, just as Moses or just as Jeremiah, there could be some great men and women in this room that are making excuses right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray as we goes forward that if there's any excuses that they would just erode, and Lord, that you would replace them with faith. Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please you. We worry about the power. We worry about the provision. And Lord, you got all that. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd provide the faith that we need. You've already done it on the cross. Lord, I pray it be ours today from your word in our hearts, Lord, to this world through the power of the word of God that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard this morning. Thank you for Pastor Pradeep. Thank you for the saints in Orissa and India, Lord, and all over Asia. We thank you for this field that you've brought us to. We pray your blessing on the remainder of this day and this conference and this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.